Daf is Daf Kuf Beis. So we are now at the very top of the page of Daf Kuf Beis here. Mish begin Tazorik v'Nizkar. So we're completing the parak today. So we're on the same topic of throwing things and passing things in halachas of Hotzah. So Mishnah says, Hazorik v'Nizkar me'achar shiyotza miyado. A guy throws something and he remembers afterwards that it was Shabbos and when it left his hand already. And then miyav kalta acher. Someone else catches it, kalta kelev, or a dog gets it, oshinisifo, or gets burnt, such a person's pater. So the havmina here, Rashi says, is kalta acher, two lines down, kasakadaitech la'acher sheniskar ze, when the guy who threw it realized it was Shabbos, remembered it was Shabbos, kalta acher, some other guy caught it, havle shnaim she'asu. So it's two people who, you know, did a melacha together, so shnaim she'asu is pater. So that's the havmina we're going to see in the Gemara to explain what's really going on in the Mishnah here. So the guy threw it, mid-air, he remembers it's Shabbos. Then a dog catches it, another person catches it, it gets burned. Such a person is pater. Zarek lasos chabur, let's say he throws a rock or something to hurt someone, to cause a wound in someone, bein behema, whether it's a person or an animal, he's trying to hurt either one of them. Viniskar achilo nasos chabur, he remembers that at Shabbos, you can't do this on Shabbos, before the chabur is made, he's pater as well. So Zakla, this is the rule, kol chayavei chataos ein chayavim, that a person not chayav chatos until the beginning and the end, both the beginning and the end have to be b'shkaga, but since both cases where he threw the item, and either for otzah or to create a chabura, he remembered it was Shabbos before it landed, before it hurt someone, so the end is going to be mazed, not shogeg, he will be putter in these two cases in the Mishnah. It has to be shogeg both in the beginning, tchilason v'sofon shkaga. So the Mishnah just explains, if it's tchilason shkaga v'sofen zadon, if the end he's mazed, or it's tchilason zadon v'sofen shkaga, or the beginning is mazed, but the end is shogeg, and either way, it's not shogeg from the beginning to the end, p'turin, ad shidhei tchilason v'sofen shkaga, yet again, that it has to be both shogeg in the beginning and at the end for one to be chayiv a chatas. So the Gemara explains. Now, based on the first line of the Mishnah, the reish of the Mishnah, that when the guy threw it in mid-air, he remembered it was Shabbos, and then it lands. So ha nacha chai. But if it lands, it's chai. Meaning the only reason why in the Mishnah he's pater is because not only did he remember it was Shabbos, but it was also caught by someone else or a dog caught it. But let's say a dog didn't catch it. Let's say Reuven threw it. Midair remembers it's Shabbos, and then it actually lands anyways. That is implied by the Mishnah that you're chai in that case. But how could that be? V'halo Nizkar, didn't he remember? And doesn't that mean v'tanan? Doesn't the Mishnah at the end tell us that the only time you're chayav chatos is if both the beginning and at the end there's shogeg? But here, the idea is he remembered mid-air, so at the end when it lands, he's actually mazed. So why would he be chayav in the case of Zorik v'Niskar v'Nacha? That the end, you remembered, it should be pater because the end is mazed. So the Gemara says that Amar Rav Kana Seifa Asan lilichta u'masna. So the Seva is talking about a case of lichta u'masna. What's lichta u'masna? Rashi explains there's a picture in my in the Masifta here. But in essence, it's some type of a kli, a jug that with a rope attached to it, where they used to hang it on the back of the donkeys with wine or something to balance out along the way. So if you're throwing the item, but you're holding on to the rope there, so that's what we're talking about. So what does that all mean? So if you just look at Rashi, u'masna, Rashi says that chevel, you have a rope, with a kli at the end. Kolomer lo mitokma seifa el bezorik lichta hakasher bechevel. The seifa is only a case where you're throwing an item with a rope attached to it, and you're holding on to it. And it's, again, a kasher bechevel katan kedarko. You're holding on to this small rope. The oche is a chevel biyadah. You're holding on to the rope. Uchashiniskar. When you remember at Shabbos, haya biyadah leachot zachevel, you have the ability to grab the rope. Ulaake zrikas hilchasa shelo tanuch. You have the ability, halichta shelo tanuch. You have the ability to prevent the item, the jug from landing, since you have the ability to draw it back, that's why you're pater. But the reisha of a zarek tsror, you throw a rock, v'chefetz, or another object, when you remember, you don't have the ability to throw something in the air, you have no ability to stop it midair. So just because you remember, that's too late already. It's not going to help. And therefore, kule shogeku. The Nizkar, the Katani, when it says to remember the Mishnah, the Ashminan Rebusa, the Afagav, the Nizkar, teaching us that even though the guy remembers and realizes Shabbos in midair, Lo Mifta Mechatas, he's not exempt from the Chatas, Unless someone else or a dog catches it. But if a guy throws it and remembers it's Shabbos in the middle, since he can't stop it from falling, he's chayv chatas on that item that's thrown in the midair. But the seifa is where he's holding onto the rope, it's attached to it, he can yank it back if he wants to. Therefore, if the end, he remembers and he's made it, lets it go anyways, that's why he would be potter in the seifa of the case. He's chayv in that case. So then the Gemara says, wait a second. Lichto masna og de biyadahu. So if it's a lichto masna, if he's holding onto this rope with the jug at the end, that's in his hand. So therefore, Rashi explains, lichto masna og de biyadahu, v'afilu kula milsa shogi. Let's say the whole thing is shogi. Lo mechayv, you won't be chayv. Let's say he doesn't remember Shabbos. He throws something and he's holding onto the rope. The ein kan zrika, that's not called zrika. Zrika is only when something leaves your hand entirely. When you have a yo-yo and you throw the end of the yo-yo, you're holding onto the rope, that's not called the zrika. The chefs is still in your hand here. That can't be what we're describing here. So that can't be the safest case. So the Gemara says, then, kigon shenishkavin la'asos chabura. No, the case is really where you had intention of making a chabura. There's not a question of zorik, not a question of throwing. You're right. Throwing is only when something's released from your hand. Chabura, I can be creating a chabura while something's in my hand. So we're talking about here is, I have an item in my hand with a rope, a yo-yo, let's say. I throw it at someone to try to hurt them, and then I remember that, wait, at Shabbos, I have the ability to pull it back if I wanted to. I have that ability. But I decided to let it go ahead anyways, so now the end of my action is amazed. So that's tchilasa b'shogeg and sofa b'mazed, and that's why you're putter in that case. Because it's not a case of zorik, the case of Oseh Chabura. So Gemara says, that can't be the case, because Hanami Tanin, the Mishnah explicitly says, the case HaZorik, Lasas Chabura, Bein Ba'adam, Bein Behema, V'nizkar, Achlo Nasis Achabura Pater. The Mishnah clearly addressed the question of creating Chabura, so that can't be what the Reish is talking about also, that HaZorik is one who's throwing to create a Chabura. That is already addressed by the Mishnah. So what's the case of the Reish? Ella, Amar Rav, Rav says, Bimavir, truly referring to Mavir, where a guy is walking. So look at Rashi to explain the case here. Rashi says around halfway down the lines of Rashi, El Amar Rava, Zaklal, this is the rule. Lemavir Arba Amos Bereshis Rabim, it's a guy who's walking Dal Amos in Bereshis Rabim. V'nizkar Kodem Shevir Dal Amos Asa, he remembers it Shabbos before completing four Amos. Shehoya Biyado Lamod B'makum Shenizkar. He said, ah, it's Shabbos, and he could stop. He could stop if he wanted to. But anyways, Aval Zorik, but that's the case. Aval Zorik Lo Miftar B'zchir, but Zorik is not exempt from Zechir. The moment it leaves your hand, there's no way for you to stop it midair, so you're putted, shogging from beginning to end. Our case is where the guy's walking, where he does have the ability to stop, he decides not to, even though he remembers it's Shabbos, so he completes the action as mazed, and that's why a guy is putted. But the Gemara says, V'hod zeh klal de katani azrika katani? But doesn't this klal that the Mishnah describes, isn't it referring to the case of Zorik? Not referring to the case of Mavir. It's a little confusing, this Gemara, but if you haven't realized. So the Gemara says, Ella, really, Amar Rava Tarti Katani. Really, the Mishnah is describing two different cases here. And it's a Zorik V'nizkar Me'achash Yatzim Yad. The first is talking about a case, a guy throws, and he remembers that Shabbos, or Inami Lo Nizkar, or he doesn't remember it Shabbos, V'kalta Acher, or Kalta Kelev, or Shenisra, Potter. So really, in the end of the day, we're saying as follows. If you look at Rashi to explain finally what's going on here in the Mishnah, El Amar Rava, Reisha Mili Mili Katani. The Reisha is talking about two different cases. Vitarti Katani. Hazarik V'Niskar is one case. The guy throws and remembers it's Shabbos. So then the din is actually, even though he can't pull it back, he's actually Pater. Because it wasn't Chilasa, B'Shogeg, V'Sofa, B'Shogeg. Since he remembers midair, that actually is a Ptur. And the second case is where he doesn't remember, he just throws it. But since it doesn't land where he wanted it to land, a dog caught it, or someone else caught it, that would also be a Ptur. So that's what the Reisha is really describing. And that's how we get out of how we explain the Mishnah. So again, just to review, the Mishnah that says, HaZorik V'Niskar, Me'achash Yatzim is one case, and then Kalta Acher, Kalta Kelev is all another case. So if the guy throws it, and the Ein Hachanami, even though he can't pull it back anymore, if he remembers before it lands, that's actually a way out. That's called Tchilasa B'Shogeg and Sofa B'Mazin. Second scenario is the guy throws it, doesn't realize it's Shabbos. But it doesn't land. There's no Hanacha. A dog took it. Some other guy took it. It got burned. There's no Hanacha. That's also a Ptur. That's how we read the Mishnah.
So that's always said before that once he threw it and
That we now we rejected that. Exactly. That's rejected at this point. Exactly. Comes along Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi Amar Chasuri Mechser. There's something that's missing here in the Mishnah. Hachi Katani. Hazorek, it should read, Hazorek Beniskar Me'acha Shiyatsusama Yado. The guy throws it, and after it released, it's released from his hand, he realizes it, he remembers it's Shamus. Kalta Acher, O Kalta Kelev, O Shinisra Pater. And also the same case. When he remembers it's Shabbos, now it's mazed, and a dog catches it, for example, that's when he's pater. But if it lands, he'd be chayv, even though he remembered in the middle. But where's this true? Shechazar v'shachach. If he then remembered and then he forgot again. So again, he threw it, he remembers it's Shabbos, he forgot about Shabbos again, and then it landed, because that's tchilasa b'shogeg and sof also b'shogeg, even though there was an interruption in the middle. Aval lo chazar v'shachach, if he doesn't forget again, meaning he remembers it's Shabbos when it lands, it's mazed. That case would be potter. Shekol chayave chataos, einan chayavim achitei tchilason v'sofan shagun. That's how he reads it, similar to the way Rava is reading it, but it's really all one case. But the klal is, if he were to remember it's Shabbos in the middle and it lands when he remembers, he'd actually be potter, just like Rava said. Tosa just points out here a technical point. He says Rav Ashi Amar chasur mechzera. This is not a classic usage of chasur mechzer of the Mishnah. You could read this Mishnah the way it's taught in the Mishnah. Chasur mechzer, where words are missing. There are no really words that are missing here. Just interpreting the way the words are. You're not adding in missing words here. Just trying to explain it by chasur mechzer. But now that words are missing, he's just elaborating on the point. A chasur mechzer, where there are words that are actually missing, where it won't make sense without adding words. Rav Ashi says the Mishnah makes sense. He's just adding in some interpretations, which is not, again, a classic case of chasur mechzer. Okay, the Gemara now says, quotes halfway down the Amud here, Amud Aleph here, Zak Klal, Kol Chayave Chataos V'chul. All Chataos, the only Chayav if it's Shogeg in the beginning and Shogeg at the end. So the Gemara says, Itmar, Shtei Amos B'Shogeg, Shtei Amos B'Mezid. Let's say the guy, and then Shtei Amos B'Shogeg again. Let's say the guy walks 2 Amos B'Shogeg. Then he walks 2 Amos bemazed. Then he walks another 2 Amos shogeg at the end. So in essence, he interrupts his dal amos of shogeg with a walking of 2 Amos of mazed in between. So what's the case in this? So what's the din in this case? The Gemara says, Rabba Amar Pater, he's Pater in this case, and Rava Amar Chayiv. So what's the machlokas? Rabba Amar Pater, why is the guy Pater? Because he explains, Afilu l'Rabba Gamliel, Damer ein yadil l'chatzi shir. Rabbi Gamliel, we've learned this in the past. Let's say a guy writes a letter, and then he remembers it's Shabbos in between, and then writes a second letter. So there's a yediyah that was interrupting the writing of the letters. He says, you're still chayv nonetheless. A yediyah, an awareness of Shabbos, does not break up a malacha, so you're chayv in that case. Even though, in general, Rabbi Gamliel says, a yediyah is not mafsik, a half a shir, and will be mitzarif to a full shir of a malacha. In this case, however, hasam hu, the chigamar shira b'shogeg kagamar. When he completes the act, he completes it b'shogeg. In other words, when he writes letter Aleph, he's b'shogeg, and then he forgets, remembers the Shabbos. They forget Shabbos again, he completes the other malacha. So when he completes the other malacha, the second letter, he was b'shogeg. So the malacha was complete when he was done b'shogeg. But here, aval hacha, the b'mezid lo. Here, when he completed his dal amos, his first dal amos, he was actually b'mezid. He walked 2 amos b'shogeg, walked another 2 amos b'mezid, his dal amos was complete b'mezid, even though he walked another 2 amos after the fact, but the shir of dal amos was complete while in a state of mezid, and therefore in a state of an awareness, a state of a yediyah, and therefore in this case, Rabbi Gamliel would say, one would be pater, one cannot be mitzarif the shi'urim. That's the understanding of Rava. So then, b'hacha b'mezid lo. Uvimai, what's the case here in the Mishnah? The Pashup shot was the guy's walking Dal Amos, but never really said it. It said 2 Amos Shogig, 2 Amos Mazid, 2 Amos Shogig. So which type of Hotzah are we talking about? Mavir, Zorik? So the Gemara wants to know, Uvimai, which type of Hotzah are we describing here? Ibizorik, Shogig. If the guy is Zorik, well, he's Shogig from beginning to end. In other words, if the guy threw from here, and we said he starts off with Shogig, midday remembers it's Shabbos, Mazid, and then he ends off with Shogeg. That's Tchilasan Shogeg and Tofa Shogeg. That should certainly be Chai V'chatas in that case. We said, even though there's an interruption in the middle, so it can't be a case of Zorik, because Zorik, this case, is Zorik Tchilasan B'Shogeg and Tofa and Shogeg. Ella, it must be B'Mavir. We're talking about a case of Mavir, where the guy is carrying something. He carries two amos b'shogeg, another two amos b'mezid, so he completed the shear b'mezid, that's why he's pater. And even though he walked another two amos b'shogeg after the fact. That's had the understanding of, that's all according to Rava. That was Rava, rather. Rava, why you're pater. Rava, Amar, the Machlokas had the gear celibacy, but Rava, Amar Chayv, he thinks this case Yechayv afilu l'rabban, even a rabban who holds Amar Yesh Yediyah l'chatzi shir, that he thinks the Yediyah does break up a shir. In other words, but if I write a letter on Shabbos b'shogeg, I remember it Shabbos, and then I forget it Shabbos again, I write the second letter, that Yediyah is mafsik this year, and you would be pater in that particular case. Even though Yediyah is pater by the case of Shnei Ozios, in this case he thinks Shechayiv. Why? Hasam hud b'yado, there was b'yado, it was in his hand, he had the ability to not write the second letter. If he didn't want to, he could say, you know what, I don't want to write the second letter. Aval hacha, here, d'ein b'yado, lo. Here he couldn't hold back. He couldn't hold back when he threw the item. And therefore, it wasn't b'yado anymore. Once it released from his hand, it's as if the entire malacha was done all with that same shear. Uvamai, what's the case? If he thinks the case that's being described here is ben mavir carrying it, that's b'yado. He could stop walking if he wanted to. So it must be Ella, Bezorik, this is a case of Bezorik. So Rav and Rava, they think the case being described above is a different case, a different scenario. One is Zorik, or one is Mavir, and this is part of how they understand this Mishnah. So just to review again, Rava says, you're Pater in this case, because he thinks it's a case of Mavir, which means you could stop if you want in the middle. But you're Pater in this case, because since you completed the Shir of Dal Amos with Mezid, you're Pater. Rava thinks this case is Chayv, it's a case of throwing, because since it's not B'yado to come back anymore, once it was released from your hand, everything is as if it was completely done, therefore you're Chayv Chatas in this particular case. Okay. Now the Gemara concludes the last 10 lines of the Amar. So Amar Rabba. Rabba says, Zorik v'nacha b'piya kelev or b'piya kibshan chayv. Let's say the guy throws something. It lands in the mouth of the dog, in the mouth of an oven. You're chayv achatas for doing so. For ha'anan t'nan, doesn't our Mishnah say, kalta acher or kalta kelev o shenisra pater? Our Mishnah says, if someone else catches it or a dog catches it, you'd be pater. So how could Rabba say it's chayv if the Mishnah says that if a dog catches it, you're pater? So the Gemara explains that Hasam de lo mechavin, hacha de kamechavin. There, you didn't have an intention. I had an intention of throwing it on the floor. A dog came up and picked up caught the ball in the midair. That's pater. That was not my intention. But Rabba's talking about a case where I intended to throw it in the mouth of the dog, and therefore it was a hanacha, because my machshava was that it should land in the mouth of the dog, and therefore you'd be chayiv. And Rabibi bar Abai af ananami tanina, we also learn in the Mishnah, that yesh ochel achil achaz, there are those who eat one food, and chayv aleh dal chatos. So chayv for four different chatos, v'ashem echad, and a carbon ashem on top of that. What's the case? Hatame she'achal chaylev. A person who's tame eats chaylev. Who knows that it's also left over mina mukdashim? That's the second issue. Eating chaylev is one. Knows mina mukdashim is the second one. And the fact that he's tame and eating hekdesh is a third one. And the Yom Kippurim is a fourth one. And Rabbi Meir Omer af im hayisah Shabbos v'otziu b'fiv chayv. And let it Shabbos, he's carrying in his mouth, he's chayv a fifth chatas for hotza. So Amru Lo, they say to Rabbi Meir, Eidim and Hashem, you're right, that that'd be usher, but that's not the same topic. We're talking about achila, a maisa achila. When you're carrying something on Shabbos, so that's not a maisa achila, it's a maisa hotza. It's a different topic. We want to know where the maisa achila itself is the creating another chatas, not a hotza in the mouth. So Vamai, the Gemara says, before we go explain a couple of things here, but why are you chayv for carrying something in your mouth? That's not a normal way to carry something in your mouth. So even according to Rimeir, who wants to add on that it's a tzah, you carry things in your hand, not in your pocket, not in your mouth. Since you had a mind to carry it in your mouth, that machshava was able to be machshave, the carrying as a normal way of carrying. Hachanami, here as well, since you had in mind, came into Kamechavin Machshavasa Mashvile Makum. Since you wanted to throw in the mouth of the dog, that Machshava, with respect to Hanacha, with respect to Otsa, will qualify as a proper Otsa, and one would be Chayiv. So, a couple interesting points that come out from all this is that you look at Rashi says, we said if you carry on Shabbos, you're Chayiv. Another issue for carrying on Shabbos. Forget Shabbos, what about Yom Kippur? It was Yom Kippur, he said. The guy's eating Yom Kippur. So don't say it's Shabbos. The fact that the guy is carrying Yom Kippur should be the Isser. So Rashi says, we see from here that Yom Kippur doesn't require an Erev. In other words, you're allowed to carry on Yom Kippur, which is against the Gemara, Tosa says. Tosa says, Dir Maschil Rabbi Meir Omer, Im Hayisa Shabbos Votziu Befiv, says Tosos, Perish Bekuntris, to Lahachi Nakit Im Hayisa Shabbos. To Bishim Yom Kippur, Melo Mechai, Rashi says, you're not chai for carrying Yom Kippur. To Ein Eir Votzol Yom Kippur. The Gemara says several places, there's no Isser of Yitzir, and there's no requirement of Eir of Yom Kippur. But lo havi maskana, halki beperek amrula, but the Gemara increases, and a couple other places say that's not the maskana. There's always, the Gemara says, I think Rav Hamnuna says, ein eir v'otzal b'yom kippur, and the Gemara always says that's a mistake. There is a iser otzal yom kippur, and there is a need for an eir. So Tosus quotes the Gemara that rejects this. The nitchu divrei rafra, rafram it is. Shayom efarishkein, umasik denakit shabbos kidei laharbos b'chathos, ulechayv af mishim shabbos yom kippurim. So Tosus says, you know why it's a Shabbos? To say you're a chayv on both Yom Kippur and also on Shabbos. So ain't a chanami, you're violating Hotzah on Yom Kippur, but the fact that it's also Shabbos, you're chayv a separate Isser to Rav Meir, is tagging on another couple of Yisurim as well. That's how Tosus explains it. Rashi doesn't seem to go well with the Pasha Pshat of the Gemara in Maseches Krisis. Now, another interesting thing they talk about here, I oftentimes think about this, let's say in an area where there's no Eruv, and you're eating something inside the house, and you walk outside, there's some crumbs or food left between your teeth, are you going to be chayv? Is that pater? Are you allowed to do that? Or should you make sure your teeth are all clean before you walk out? So some prove from this Gemara that only if you have intention, but I don't have intention of walking out with the food, but you know, the crumbs between my teeth and the meat between my teeth, and therefore you're pater. So there's a whole long discussion. Others say, really, you should clean your teeth beforehand. Why don't people do this? Because you're not always home to brush your teeth and to do it properly. You're out at a meal, you're at a kiddush, so you can't really accomplish this. But ideally, a person should do his best to not walk outside if there's no Erev, unless he cleans his teeth as best as he possibly could. Okay. That would be, I think, more different because you're not intending on bringing. You definitely don't want it out there in your mouth. You want the food in your mouth because you actually want to eat it and swallow it. You don't want food in your beard. The only reason why carrying in the mouth is considered hotzah because you wanted to carry it. So hajr lach hazor. That ends the 11th parak. Let's begin now the 12th parak, the parak habone. Okay, fine, perfect. We still have a couple of days though, but may as well get a head start. Okay, so the mission of the parak begins as follows: habone. Kama yivna v'yechayv. When a person builds, how much does one need to build to be chayv echatas? So the Mishnah says habona kosher. Even the smallest amount, a tiny piece of binyan, a tiny building, would be sufficient to be chayv echatas. Ha mesates. What's mesates? Mesates is squaring something off. Rashi explains, kind of curving or shaving down, smoothing out a rock. So chiseling, it says. Okay, chiseling. Hamakav patish, a person who completes an act. We'll see there's a machlokas. Rashi Tosas. Rashi focuses on makiv patish in terms of building something. When you complete a building, Tosas takes issue. If you took a look at Tosas makiv patish, Tosas writes, Peish bekuntris, shem mefutas bas hasela, you break the rock, lacha shechatzva, after you've chiseled it out, vein nirlari, the b'mishkan lo hava binyan avanim. There was no building of rocks in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan, v'lo shavik tanda gamar mlacha, the kalim, davi b'mishkan, v'nakin makiv patish, de evan. Why would the Misha ignore the building of Kalim and start focusing on the building of the rock? To l'havi b'mishkan. So ella nir l'ri, the high makav patish, high makish achron, the last hammer blow, shemaka ala kli b'shask mar mlacha. While Rashi focuses on the makav patish on a binyan, on building something, Tosa says it's focused on building a keli, building utensils, that existed in the Mishkan. It's not something unique to building. Makav patish applies to every single mlacha. You finished a shirt, sewing and weaving a shirt, that final tie, that final sew, that final stitch, that would be makav patish as well. So while Tosos, rather Rashi, focuses on a binyan again, the final hammer on building something, Tosos says, no, it's a final fashioning, final hammer blow of a particular utensil. Okay, so now the Mishnah says further that ha-ma'atzed is, how do they define that?
Sledgehammer,
hakodeah kosher, which is making a hole in something, in wood or metal, a smallest amount, that would also be chayv. And zeh klal, this is the rule. Kol ha'osem melacha u'melachto miskayemes b'shabbos. Anyone who does a melacha and it's miskayemes b'shabbos. Now that miskayemes b'shabbos is a very interesting line. Rashi says b'shabbos is going on b'shabbos ha'osem melacha. Meaning, anyone who does a melacha on Shabbos and it's miskayemes, you're chayv. Rambam says no. It's you do a melacha, and it's maskayemes on Shabbos. It has to stay on Shabbos, which means that for the Rambam, the way to define maskayemes will remain on that Shabbos. According to Rashi, Miskaimus means it's Miskaimus. Nothing to do with Shabbos. Let's say it's Miskaimus after Shabbos. But Rambam says it has to be Miskaimus on Shabbos itself, which means that there's some heterim that the Rambam holds. Let's say you, in terms of makeup, it's discussed makeup, that's temporary makeup that comes off. So it's implied from the Rambam, if a woman puts on makeup and it won't last all of Shabbos, you're not chayev. Has to be Miskaimus all of Shabbos. If it's not, it's not chayev, but it's pater about aser. So this is one of the heterim of where they have this Shabbos makeup that falls off. Shabbos makeup is where it doesn't stay the whole Shabbos. It stays on for a little bit and it falls off. You can put it on Shabbos, but it's very temporary. But others don't like it so much because the Rambam says it's still pater aval aser. It's not nechayev. And the Smag also says, even a melacha that's even soveya, that's not miskayemes, the Smag still thinks it's chayev. He doesn't read this mission the same way as the Rambam. But writing, it could be similar to that. Writing might be different than coloring, but yeah, coloring is more on the skin. It might be a different definition, but yeah. Something that's not miskayemes would not be chayev, according to the Rambam. But again, miskayemes, according to the Rambam, means that's miskayemes on Shabbos based on this particular Mishnah. So I'll give you another example they talk about. In hotels, you flush a toilet, they have that blue coloring, that blue soap. You flush a toilet, you've now colored the water. Is that a problem? So the Shuvas Oral Tzion says it's not a problem because it's ainu miskayemes. If you leave it there, over time it's going to just fade away. Or someone else is going to use the toilet and he'll get rid of it. So that's called ainu miskayemes. He thinks it's a pater based on this Mishnah, based on the Rambam. Others argue and say no. It's still a psik resha, and miskayemes doesn't mean that. So it comes up in many areas how one defines miskayemes. But again, for our particular Mishnah, Rambam says miskayemes means it must last all of Shabbos. Rashi says no, miskayemes has nothing to do with Shabbos. As long as it's miskayem, it could be a couple hours, that might be sufficient for the definition of miskayem according to the according to Rashi.
China, there's a whole hobby that older men they write with water.
Oh yeah. Okay, so that won't be miskayemes, right?
Within 10 minutes, the whole thing's gone. They paint, and then it goes away.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So then the Mishnah concludes that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Af Hamake Bekornis Ala Sadin B'Shas Melacha Chayev. That even a person uses the how do they define this in English?
Strikes a hammer on the anvil.
On the handle.
Anvil.
Anvil. Right. So the that right that hammer on the anvil. That also would be Chayev Mipnei Shu B'Kimisakein Melacha. It's as if you're fixing the Melacha. The Rashi explains in Mipneshu Kmesakin Melacha. Even though you're not doing anything, Ela Ala Hasadin, you're just kind of hitting the hammer against the anvil. That itself is chayv, and we'll see why in the Gemara what exactly is being accomplished. Why that's called the Melacha. Now we know there's a din that in addition to bin and building, there's also making a tent. Building a tent is also chayv. Now the Rambam holds building a tent is only a toldo of binyan. Why is that not a real binyan? If I build a tent, isn't that a real building? What's the difference? So with the Evan Ezra explains. Is as follows. He says the Rambam holds that megabin is making cheese is an amlach of bona. Why? Because cheese is taking different pieces of milk or whatever it is, and you build something. The definition of binyan for the Rambam is that we take pieces together and you create something. Bricks, Lego, putting pieces together. An oil is not taking things together; it's just taking a cloth and spreading it out. And for that reason, it's only a tolda of binyan. The definition of binyan is when you put pieces together. That's how the Rambam understands it. Fine. The Gemara now says Viter. Was I one last thing in terms of the binyan l'shah? So we spoke about in the Mishnah a binyan kosher, a small amount of binyan that even that qualifies as building. But what about a temporary building? You build something up a Lego just to have it for a small amount of time. You plan to take it apart. Would that be chayiv or not? So the Rambam and the Ritva both say that the person's chayiv even though it's a melacha l'shah based on the mefurish Yerushalmi. Because the Mishka, we know the Mishka was only temporary. You built it in one place, and you picked it up and moved it to another place. That was a binyan l'shah. A building, a house, you leave there forever. The Mishka was not permanent, it was temporary. And therefore, since the Mishka is the model, a binyan l'shah would be pater. Now, the Chassam Sofer says that's a very nice Yerushalmi, but you'd be chayv in that case. Exactly, you'd be chayv in that case. So the Chassam Sofer says that's very nice Yerushalmi, but the Bavli doesn't hold that way. The Bavli holds that we saw earlier in the Masechta that the entire Midbar was all Osamakim, was the same place, because we had the question of, list Rav Manas Binyan, that when it came to Sosa Rav Manas Livnos, destroying something in order to build it, Sosa is only a Malacha if you destroy it to build, but only if it's in that same place. So if I destroy house A, to rebuild the house in that same place, that's Sosa Rav Manas Livnos. But if you're going to destroy something to build elsewhere, that's going to be pater. So the Gemara says, well, isn't the whole Mishkan, isn't that all Soser, Amas Livnos, but Malkum Acher? They picked up the pieces in point A and traveled somewhere else to build a different place. So you should never have Sosir, because that's always been another Makom. And what the Gemara there said was that since the whole thing was Al-Pi Hashem, we travel based on Hashem, and the entire Midbar is Hashem's Makom, that's all called one place here. So in fact, in the Mishkan, it was all being built in the same, it was all permanent, he was saying. It was all permanent building. It was built in one place, and that's all permanent. We were picking it up and moving it, picking it up and moving it. The Chassam Sofer says that was all not Lasha. That was all considered one continuous building, and there's no raya from the Bavli that Binyan Lasha should in fact be Chayv. Okay, let's read the Gemara. We are running out of time. The Gemara says, Kol Shu Lamai Chazir. Building a small little Binyan, a small amount of Kol Shu, what's that accomplishing? Why is that Chayv? So Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah Shekein Ani Chofer Guma Latzniya Ba Prutosov. That Ani there wants to build a little, dig a little hole in the ground to hide his pennies. He needs a place of safekeeping for it. The Kavasa, in a similar way, find the Mishnah, which is always the model for all the dinim. The Mishnah we find that Gavi Mishkan is Shekein Tofer Yirios. The tailors Chofen Guma Latznia, they dig a hole to hide their machatayin, to hide their needs, their needles rather. So just like in the Mishkan, they'd hide their needles in the ground, a little small little hole, tiny little hole, kol shu. So to Aniyim, we're hiding the pennies, the prutos, in a small little hole. And that's that's what the function of a binyan kol shu would be. So Abaye Amar, Abaye would say, Kevin de Mishtakche, since they get rusty, if you put a needle in the ground, they're going to get rusty. Lo avdi hachi, no one's going to bury their needles in the ground. Ella, shekein ani, pit pute, kira, ktana, lisvos ale, kedera ktana. That when an ani would be making a little pot, he'd make a small little hole to put on top of his kira. He'd make a little hole, so they have to have like the pot stay on top of it. So you have to dig a little hole on top of it to etch it in so it stays firm on top of the oven. So you make a tiny little hole. So even a binyan kol shu had a certain function for a small little pot. So shekein, we have the kavasa, we have the same thing in the Mishnah, in the Mishkan rather. Gavi Mishkan, mivashle simanim, where they would cook the different dyes, litzvo, yirios, to color the curtains, shechasa melachtan osin ptipubikira ktana lisbosa le yora ketana. So when they were dyeing the curtain, sometimes the curtain was a little white, didn't get colored. So they have to fill in some of the spots, the blotches here and there. So they have to cook a small little pot just to fill in those little patches in the curtain. So just like in the Mishkan, they have to have sometimes smaller pots, so that would be the kol shu of building a position for the pot to cook. So the Gemara says, "Rivacha bar Yaakov Amar ein anias b'makom hashus." There is no poverty in the place of wealth. You go to the king's house; they're not cheap. When you go to a mansion, they're not cheap on what they're giving out here. So here, Rashi explains, "Ein anias b'makom hashus lo asu davar b'tzimtzum." In the Mishkan, which is a place of wealth and royalty, they weren't doing things with great precision. Elakol mitchilas on dayim v'hosu. They did everything in excess. And there's plenty of dye going around. They never had to kind of build, to make up some missing things. They had a huge vat of dye, and if it was the first time around they were coloring the curtains, they didn't have enough, they'd just go back to that same vat and put it in. They wouldn't have to cook small little pots to fill in the patches here and there. So that can't be what we're talking about in the Mishkan. So the Gemara says, El, therefore, shekein ba'al habayis, sheyesh lo nekav bibiraso. If a owner, a landlord, has a little hole in his house, in his building, tiny little hole, the sosmo, he'll close it, he'll patch it up. No one wants holes in their houses. You have a hole from the outside, you patch it up with whatever you're patching up, wood, metal. So the kavasa in a similar way, gavi mishkan, shekein keresh, shenaflobo darna, matif latocha, aver, visosmo. If the beams got a little hole in it, hole got inside, you just plug it up with some lead, and then you fix it up. So a tiny little hole you could fix up, that it happened in the Mishkan, and therefore even a kosher would be considered a binyan. The Sfas Emes asks a question. He says, I don't get it. Why would they use a beam that had a hole in the Mishkan? Wouldn't that be a mum? Right? We want everything to be so pure and perfect in the Mishkan. So if they had a hole, why don't you get a hole in another beam without the hole? It's a mum. And the Sfas Emes says that a mum is only effective, or only ineffective, I should say, only disqualifies if it's recognizable. If a big beam with a tiny little hole in it, it's covered in gold, a small little patch of a hole is not going to be recognizable, and therefore it's not disqualified as a mum. The Gemara now says halfway down the Amud here, Amr Shmuel says, "How mitzadid is Evan? Person mitzadid is Evan. What does that mean?" Says Rashi, "Mitzadid is Evan is Moshiva u'mitzadida achim mitzasheves bekarkos yisod habinyan yafe mitoch shemitzadideha o mechina who mechina tachteh u'moshivi ba'aretz chayv." You're building a foundation. So you kind of, I think, what's describing, you move away the dirt. So you patch it in, you position the rock inside so it stays firm, and you kind of cover it with the dirt so it stays pretty solid. So a person who does this on Shabbos, who puts the foundation in, a person, such a person is chayv. So Meisibet, the Gemara asks the question, Echa nosinis evan, one guy places a brick, Echa nosinis atit, another person puts the cement on top of it. Ha nosinis atit chayv, the one who puts the cement is chayv. But the guy who places the rock alone is potter. So why do we use a potter? Didn't we say before, a guy who's metadis evan, a guy who places a rock on the ground and positions it, he's chayv? But here we're saying the guy who places the rock down is potter. So the Gemara says, according to your reasoning, look at the Seifa. That Rabbi Yossi Omer, the guy placed the rock on top of something, he's chayv as well. And if you look at Rashi, Dimas Shuras Avani Choma, you put a row of rocks on top of a wall, Alma, but Nachabama Chayv. Even placing something down without tit would be chayv. Vafila Lotzi, that even if you didn't kind of position it in the ground. So the question becomes, when you put something down without tit, it's a chayv or potter. So Shmuel says, if you're metadid it, if you position it, you're chayv. And Rabbi Yossi says, even without positioning it, just lying on top of the wall, without having anything holding in place, you'd be chayv. And then the Brisa says, only one who places tit in would be chayv. So which one is it? And the Gemara says, they're all true. Ela tlasa binyana havu. There are three different levels of a building, and we'll explain each one now as follows. That tata, mitziya, v'ila. The bottom, the middle, and the top. Tata, the bottom one, bites dude v'afara. The bottom one, to be chayv, you need to have dirt, you need to have positioning, and mitzade, that's when you're chayv. No cement. Just putting it in the ground, you make a hole to have it fastened in the ground, that would be chayv. Mitziya. And the middle level is a building above the foundation. In order to be chayv in the middle, that boy nami tina, that requires the cement to hold it in place. And then the top level, ilah, banacha ba'amah, to place rocks on top of a binyan that already exists, simply placing on top of that, that alone would be sufficient to make a person, in fact, chayv.
But that's the covenant of the building, not just to lay something there.
No, I think already if it's already built, to put a rock on top,
just to put it there, right. If you have no covenant.
Exactly. What, with another case, Avnei Nezer talks about a different case. Avnei Nezer talks about a case. The Mishnah here says, if Reuven puts an Evan on, and Shimon puts on the tit, so Shimon's chai for putting the tit on. But Reuven's potter, but potter v'alasser. But Avnei Nezer says, maybe it's only potter v'alasser if Reuven has a mind to put a rock on with the awareness that Shimon's putting a tit afterwards. But let's say a guy just puts a brick on the ground, not the top of the building. He puts a brick on the ground. Would he be chayv or potter? And he says it's actually a machlokish. We shown him by just placing a rock on the ground that might be potter of al aser or completely mutter. He points out a ritva and Ran and Beta that say it's aser, others say it's potter and mutter. So there's actually, I thought this might be a mar malkum. They're talking about, you know, those tents on Shabbos. There's little canopies for people to daven underneath it. If you can move that on Shabbos or not. So I thought based on this Avnei Nezer that a person can say, in fact, it should be aser. Because it's like putting a brick in one place onto another place, that without having a mind for someone cementing it. That according to the many Rishonim, that by simply putting a brick on the ground, that's an Issur Midrabanim. I felt that maybe it should be also to move these tents. I spoke to a number of Rabanim, and no one else felt this way. They all felt that they don't think it would be also. They thought it would be completely mutter to move these canopies on Shabbos. So putting on the ground itself won't be chayv. Yeah, the ohel is all already exists. It's already open. The ohel already exists. And it's moving something to a different place. Even though an umbrella, you can't use an umbrella, that's really, you're really allowed to use an umbrella. We just created a gzera nonetheless. But they don't think it extended to these types of canopies. And I spoke to a few poskim, they all felt it would be mutter and it wouldn't be bechlal v'zdin. So either way, for our purposes, putting a brick on the ground without any cement, that would be a machlokas rishon.
That's without the kinakan,
that's exactly. Ignoring any muksa issues. Right. Exactly. Right. Okay, the Gemara now says, Hamasates, which we said was chiseling, says as follows. The Gemara says that Hamasates Mishum Mai Mechayiv, what Melach are you Chayiv for Masates? Rav Amar Mishum Bona, Mishmuel Amar Mishum Makim Epatish. So for one it says building, and one says Makim Epatish. Similarly, that Osa Nekev Belul Shatana Golem, a person makes a little hole in the chicken pen, what do they call it? Coop, chicken coop. So there, Rashi explains the purpose of this is to let all the stench come out, so the tarnagolim don't suffocate from the stench. So a person makes a hole in the coop. So Rav Amar Mishum Bona, Shmuel Amar Mishum Makeh Patish. Again, the same machlokas, whether that's binyan or whether that's going to be Makeh Bepatish. And then the third machlokas, the Gemara says, Al Shufsa Bekofina Demara. Let's say you have a shovel and you make a hole in the shovel to hang something on, hang a handle on. Is that going to be, that's an Isser, it's a Chiv Chatas, Rav Amar Mishum Bona, I don't have time to go through this right now, but they asked the question of making a hole in the shovel here. Isn't that binyan vestir bekalim? We hold ain binyan vestir bekalim. So how is that even entertained here? So I understand Shmuel could say that's makbe patish. It's the final blow. But how could Rav say it's boner, ain binyan vestir bekalim? So there are a lot of answers, but one answer is that Rav holds in general that yesh binyan vestir bekalim. He's that shita, and therefore that's why he plugs it in here. That's the shitasim. Others say no, for many other reasons. Why, but not for now. So either way, we have three different examples where Rav and Shmuel have the same machlokas. Rav says bone, Shmuel says makbe patish. We have the case of making the chiseling. Number two is we had the neck of Balul, hole in the coop. And the third case was making the hole in the end of the shovel. So why do we need three cases of the same machlokas? But tzricha. Diashmin, if he taught the case, kemaisa, the first case of misates of chiseling. Bahi kama Rav, that's what Rav says, binyan mishum dederech, but binyan bekach, that's normal, to binyan, to do chiseling, that's a normal thing. People don't, it's not the normal way of building, of making a hole in the coop. Maybe there he would say, Ema Modi Le Shmuel, that case wouldn't be binyan, that would be makbe patish. That even in this case, even though it's not the derech b'binyan, Rav still thinks that is going to qualify as binyan. V'yashmin b'ha'af, if you had this case, b'ha'af kama Rav mishum d'dami l'binyan, d'avidi l'avira. There, making the hole in the chicken coop makes sense because you're making a hole to give it some air. That's a normal thing of buildings. Aval shuf sabekufina demara, making a hole at the end of the shavel, the ain derech bin mekach. That's not normal. So ema modi la l'shmuel, he would agree to Shmuel that that would be a chiv of makbe patish. Kamash v'lan, here as well. Rashi doesn't explain really all the havamin is. I'm just reading the teaching of the Gemara. So it's kamash v'lan that, yeah, even in this case, Rav thinks it's an abinim. V'yashmin in b'ha, b'akar b'shmuel. And if you had only this case, maybe this case, which Shmuel say, would it be binyan? Aval, but the case of the shovel. Aval b'hanech tarti, but the other case, ema modi le Rav, you'd agree to Rav that there would really be binyan, not makbe patish. Tzich, and therefore you need all three cases because they have something added to give. Again, Rashi doesn't really explain the havamina so much here, but all three are necessary cases to teach. Should we try to get to the next few lines really quickly? The Gemara. So the Gemara says, let's see. Bai minei Rav Nasan bar Ushaya, me Rabbi Yochanan. Misantes mishemai mechayev, a person who chisels, what's he chayev for? Ach vele biyalde, he points with his hand, mishemach bepatish. One who chisels is mach bepatish. Ah, but vahadan tzanar, doesn't our Mishnah say, misantes vahmach bepatish as separate different things? Ema misantes hamach bepatish. One whose misantes is in violation of mach bepatish. So again, this is not a question for Rav and Shmuel. Rav or Shmuel says mach bepatish, and that can be read into the Mishnah as well. So Tashma, the Gemara says, going on the top of Kuf Gimel, which go down five lines down here, HaKodeach, a person who Rashi explains here, who makes drills a hole for a screw of some sort, Koshu, a small hole, is Chayv. So Bishma L'Rava, Michze Keman Dechar Churta L'Binyana, when a guy does this, it's a Chayv, because it looks like you're making a hole for the purpose of building. That's why one's Chayv for Binyan. So Ella, the Shmuel, Lav Gmar Malachi. But for Shmuel, that's not a makbe patish. Drilling a hole is just one step to put a screw in afterwards. But that's not makbe patish. So Gemara says, Hach b'mayaskin, what's the case here? De baze b'ramsa de parzala v'shavke b'gave dainu gmar malachim. The situation here, we have a very long nail. And the case is, 1 second here, you make it, you put the nail in, the screw in.
Left it in to hang things on.
All right, so you left it as a hook of some sort to hang it in, and therefore it would be considered the gmar malachim. Right, exactly. He kind of drew it. He didn't drill the whole way, and he left it hanging out. Whereby, even though it's not, it doesn't look like a gemar malacha, it would be binyan for the rav. It is a gemar malacha because your intention was to hang things on it, and therefore we'd be chayav mishum makbe patish. Yeah.